What's up, everybody? We are back with another episode of Octagon Control. As usual, I am your host, Nikolai Gianti. Alongside is my co-host, Chris Manning. Chris, how are you doing today on Labor Day?
It's good. You know, no class today at Ohio University, which is always a plus. I got a little bit of extra sleep. Still anxiously awaiting the Dolce Di College edition to come out. I've been fiending for that, as we talked about on Saturday, but you know, really good weekend of fights, like really good fight card on Saturday night, and I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about Anthony Pettis kind of pulling off a very, very surprising armbar submission over Vincent Henderson. I'm sure maybe we might touch on that in a little bit.
Well, I'll see what I can do about that college edition book. As you know from seeing Twitter, me and him are best
boys.
Friends,
you guys
basically,
are, you guys
at this point.
Yeah, you, Ian McCall, and Dolce, you just get Conor McGregor in there, and you know, just no sweat.
But UFC 164 did take place this weekend. Main event headlined by Benson Henderson, Anthony Pettis 2. And let's start off with that armbar. Very, very slick execution. And for those who know anything about jiu-jitsu, who have taken jiu-jitsu, finishing an armbar belly down is a very difficult thing to do because really the way to finish an armbar is to hyperextend the elbow, and in order to do that you need to bring your hips up to get more leverage. When you have belly down, or when you're on sort of your head as he was, it's very difficult to get that arch, get that bridge, and it makes it more difficult to get the angle to twist it. But the way he was able to do it is very high-level jiu-jitsu. He controlled the wrist. He put torque on the shoulder, which is, it's possible based on how you are, and the key is controlling that wrist. That's high-level jiu-jitsu, and to do it against a guy that, I mean, we've seen is nearly unsubmittable, was unsubmittable before this point. Yeah, I mean, that's basically a feather in the cap of Anthony Pettis, excuse me.
Yeah, and then even before that, Benson had kind of, it wasn't the most enthralling strategy, but he'd went for a lot of take, just kind of put him against the fence, closed the space, but Anthony, for me, I think the key was he got in space, landed those four huge body kicks, kind of took the fight, and when Ben took him down, you're like, okay, you know, maybe Ben, and I'd said this to you, and you, I think you agreed with me, that it was just, this is, like, Ben's going to win this round, he's not going to get subbed, and before we know it, he's verbally tapping you an armbar. I had picked Pettis to win, but I didn't pick it like that. I think you would have been out of view. I think it would have been very hard a very non-calculated guess to say Anthony Pettis wins the armbar.
Especially in the first round. And this raised an interesting point. He called out Jose Aldo immediately following this. Obviously, Aldo has to heal from some injuries. We're going to learn the extent of Pettis' knee injury soon, but it was not the knee that he had injured in training prior to the first attempt to schedule this Jose Aldo bout. And in my opinion, you know, obviously the fair thing to do is to give TJ Grant a shot, but we've learned MMA is not fair. The UFC isn't fair. If it was fair, Nick Diaz would have zero title shots. Johnny Hendricks would have already had one. It's crazy to think in the year of the super fight, this is going to be our super fight. If it can actually come true. If Anthony Pettis and Jose Aldo is the super fight that we get when we talked so much about Silva Jones or Silva GSP, now we get this dynamic lightweight against, realistically, you know, top three or top four pound for pound in the world.
Dry Faber says he's the best pound for pound part in the world right now.
But you would disagree with that because you say Anthony Pettis is the top fighter 155 pounds and below. Now,
I do believe that, but at the same time, like pound for pound, I would pick Pettis over Aldo. At either weight class, more comfortably 155, but the thing is, like, Aldo has the resume to say, like, on the pound front, this would be Pettis' first major title, except for the WC belt, and that way he didn't ever defend that. He doesn't even defend the UFC, Aldo's defended it, but, like, at the same time, you had to put Aldo ahead of him, but I would still say Pettis. Like, I truly think that, like, Pettis would beat Aldo, and that's it, but it's all kind of subjective until we kind of see them fight.
And this raises an interesting point, I guess. Do you think, I got to ask you first, do you think Jose Aldo, Anthony Pettis is the fight that gets made, and then I'll move on from there?
No. My kind of hunch is what's going to happen is and 155 TJ Grant will end up fighting.
Deservingly so.
Yeah, and then I just a little heads up on at Octagon Control MMA.blogspot.com, our home now. I kind of made the pitch for Aldo and Pettis, and I would like to fight quite a bit. I think it would be a big money fight for the UFC. But I think Grant, this is the fight that gets made. I think they'll kind of go there at 145. It kind of be as much as I want to see Aldo Pettis at either weight. It would kind of like it was back in August. It would be kind of a weird timing to do it. Aldo has Ricardo Lamas waiting for him. Chad Mendes has looked incredible. Cub Swanson has been there. You have Frankie still looming. There's a good
Conor McGregor, not at the top, but
no,
he's going
to
be looming.
Well, I mean, if he tore, I mean, that's different. I mean, if he would have torn his ACL, like you could, and he wins big in Manchester, then I would have been like, okay, like maybe he gets fast tracked at some point and he fights him in Ireland, but. There's contenders, and I kind of think it's going to be Pettis will fight Grant, and either Lamas will fight, although early in 2014, or if Aldo's going to be out like longer than we're kind of hearing, then I think they go Lamas, Mendez, and more contender route. Because I would kind of prefer that they went Edgar Mendez and then Lamas Swanson too, but I kind of feel like Lamas is kind of, he said on Twitter over the weekend that the only guy he would fight right now is Chet Mendez, so maybe that's the fight they make.
Now...
But I also don't think we're going to get an answer to this question for a few more weeks.
However,
knee and everything.
I would like to raise this question now. Let's say he goes down to 145. Aldo has already said, forfeit your belt. We're going to fight at 145.
I don't know.
But let's say he goes, okay, I'm going to move down to 45. Because it's very unrealistic to see him be able to defend two belts at the same time.
Here's the thing. Pettis had said he won't vacate his title at the press conference. He's very clear about that. And from the UFC standpoint, that makes no sense. So the first time since BJ Penn, you have a finishing lightweight champion who also, mind you, has a very like extroverted persona. Has this flashy style. Someone you can market much better than you can market Benson Henderson, who's a really good champion, but he's just due to his style and not finishing fights. Pettis is a guy, he's like, I don't want to go to judges. Like, you never heard Benson say that. Like, really, come on, dramatically, just state it. Pettis is, and I recommend reading Ben Folk's column in this MMA Junkie. But he's a guy that you can sell. And for them to say, okay, let's vacate his belt at this time, like, I think he's going to defend it. Like, in one way or another, I think if that fight takes place, it would make sense at 145 at this point, considering Pettis is the champ at 155 now. And if it's going to happen, it's going to be Aldo versus Pettis at 155 for the belt, or... each fight contenders in their respective divisions.
Or we just drop it at 150, make it a super fight for no belt.
Man, that'd be weird. But then
that'd be weird.
But then
it is.
Then it's like if Aldo wins, like, wouldn't you think of him as the lightweight champ? And then you have to do a rematch, even if it was like the most uncompetitive fight ever. That's like a weird situation. I think if it's got to be in a definite weight class.
I would prefer 155 because I think Aldo's starting to grow out.
He's
going to
go there eventually. So
I mean, he's basically cleared through all the contenders.
And then. Question though, if he vacates the title hypothetically, who is your title fight at 145 for the vacant belt? I would say Lamas and Mendez.
Lamas, Mendez, Frankie Edgar waiting in the wings.
I'll go Lamas, Mendez.
Cubs and Frankie for the number one
contender.
Or make it a little four way tournament where we have Mendez go up against Swanson and Lamas against Edgar. I think that would be 1 and 4, 2 and 3, respectively. Make them fight, and we move it in. I don't know. A little fantasy matchmaker there.
If that happens, that'd be cool, though.
That would be cool.
It'd be much better. It'd be interesting.
And we would have to make sure that we had competent judges who know how to add numbers so we don't get a Ian McCall, Demetrius Johnson experience again.
Yep.
However, let us play a little more fantasy matchmaker right now. Chris... give me your bouts you would like to see.
Well, I will plug the shit out of our new home. That is my job. But you know the one that really came out to me the first thing besides Pettis and Aldo was at one for Benson. Him and Gray Maynard to me just makes like a lot of sense. Benson is a guy who he's now 7-1 in the UFC. Maynard is kind of in this position at the same time where he's clearly one of the best lightweights in the world, but he's probably not going to get a shot due to the type of losses he's had. I mean, losing to Edgar, losing to DJ Grant in the first round. Match them up. It's an interesting style matchup. But, I mean, it'll be a guy that's probably as big as Benson, if not bigger. And it's both come up with losses. and it's one of the names he hasn't faced yet.
Let me raise a question for you, and I'm glad you brought up Benson. Is it possible he gets another shot if Pettis is still a champion? Because that's very hard to sell. He's lost two fights in, I mean, the first fight with that Showtime kick, sure, it went to decision. It was very close. The Showtime kick squeaked it out for Anthony. But this fight was not competitive. We learned early that basically towing a guy in the calf counts as a strike. And, I mean, he didn't have a lot of offense. And that's not to say I don't like Benson Henderson, but some guys have their kryptonite, and it looks like Anthony Pettis could be Benson Henderson's kryptonite. I do like the idea of the Gray-Maynard fight, and I will also state I feel really bad for whoever fights him next. I think he's going to finish whoever he fights next.
We'll see about that. But the thing, if Benson, to me, is, as you seem to see, they're not going to book title fights again. And definitive finishes, except for heavyweight with Cannon Jr., because that was kind of it's clearly those two guys are the best two in that division. But for example, if you think of Vitor Belfort, he got front kicked to the face by Anderson Silva. He is not going to get a touch. Leona Machida, choked out in the second round by John Jones. Not going to get a title shot again.
Also lost to Phil Davis.
Yeah, but I mean, if he would have won that, like, he wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have gotten. And Chad Mendes, he's been the best Chad Mendes ever in his last four fights. And because he got knocked out, regardless what we think of the cage grabbing, he lost via first round KO to Aldo. So it's hard to rebook that. I think he would have to go on a very long run. I think he'd have to finish a lot of guys. And I think he'd really have to. I think it would have to be like a five. But somewhere between 6 and 9 wins to kind of get. I mean, that's a.
And it's
that's,
realistic.
That's tough at 155.
It's realistic that he could be put in the John Fish zone.
Absolutely.
Where, and there's such an extreme difference because Fish only fought GSP once, and this is two times in a row Benson has lost to Anthony Pettis. And he has the style like John Fish. He's a little flashier, but he does go to decisions. I enjoy watching him. But, I mean, I could see him just beating the brakes off, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys, but still be being stuck in that John Fitch territory. And that, you know, that sucks for him. And, you know, I think those are the two best lightweights in the world, but, man, he has a tough break.
Yeah, it would take definitely a little bit for him to kind of get that. And at the same time, though, Pettis does have – there's a chance that, depending on how things work out, Pettis, the contender's there. Like, I mean, Grant's obvious. I think Gilbert and Melendez could be easily in another title fight within one or two more fights. Although, there's not another lot of names other than that. Rafael Dos Anjos, but I think he's going to get stopped eventually. There's lightweight's very deep, but there's Habib and my boy Nurmi or Pat Healy. But other than that, there's not, like, a ton of... Like, welterweight to me is like there's more interest there. There's featherweight's by far deepest right now.
Another option, and I'm glad you brought up welterweight. He's a very big lightweight. It wouldn't shock me if, you know, he fought two or three more times at lightweight, but kind of said, listen, I'm not going to get another title shot. They've already said that I'm not going to get it unless I win 6, 7, 8 fights in a row. I'm going to go up to welterweight. He has a very interesting style. He's a huge lightweight. He's very strong. He's got the wrestling. I think he would be an interesting matchup for a lot of 170ers. Do I think he would be as competitive in it? No, but I think he's at a point where he might need to take a risk.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Let's see. I think 155 is home for now. But the next one I had wrote about was Chad Mendes and Dustin Poirier. To me... Mendes is probably going to be on the outside looking at it, unless he gets Ricardo Lamas. He's going to kind of be like the guy behind Swanson and Lamas. I think that Poirier is another top 10 guy coming off a win, be a better guy than Guida. And if you're going to, he's going to have to, that'll be fifth straight. If he's not going to get Lamas and he's not going to get a title shot, to me, that's it. I think Edgar's going to get something bigger. I think Edgar's either going to get Swanson or he's going to fight like Uriah Faber or something like that. Like, I think he's going to be in, like, a bigger fight in his next fight. So to me, it's either Poirier or he has to fight someone below Guida. And I think if he wants to take a step up, Poirier kind of made the most sense to me.
Yeah, you know.
And it'd be exciting. I mean, Poirier's competent on the ground.
It'd be exciting, but.
I would pick Mendez. Don't get me
wrong.
You
got to feel bad for everyone that gets thrown at Chad Mendez nowadays. He's such a killer now.
And we talked about this on Saturday. I would pick him. I think he might be the best guy without a UFC belt right now. And I also think that that's hard to say. There's so many. You have Hendricks and JDS.
Pettis sort of vacated that title on Saturday.
Yeah. And he just looked great with Dwayne Ludwig. So, I think the Poirier fight would be a scrap.
Yeah. I mean,
Poirier is an exciting son of a bitch.
He is. And, you know, I picked him on Saturday. He looked very good.
I was proved wrong because I picked Eric Cope.
But I look at Chad Mendez. First off, I said he was going to finish Clay Guida. I thought it would be by a submission after he rocked him, however.
But he's the first guy to KO
Clay. First guy to KO Clay Guida. And, I mean, he's 4-0 in his last four bouts, four straight knockouts. And, I mean, Alpha Male as a whole is undefeated since Dwayne Ludwig came in.
But he's looked the best.
And he's looked the best by far. And that's taking nothing away from anyone else. But, I mean, Mendez looks like an absolute killer. He looks focused. And, you know, sometimes a loss is what fighters need. And yeah, this could have been the perfect thing for him. I think he's hungry now, it's clear. He's scary for everyone. And, you know, he's short and stocky, but he's powerful. And he has a lot of speed. And, you know, obviously coming from a wrestling background, stamina for days.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And the other thing is that he's changed his whole persona. Like, not his persona, but, like, how he's perceived. Before, he was perceived as a wrestler who would take you down and just control fights. Like, he didn't knock out guys like Rani Yaya and Michiro Omigama. He was beating guys that were good, but not great, and he wasn't finishing them. He's finished Clay Guida now. I mean, that's changed. Like, it's clear that dude is. I mean, you even said he's not weight wise that huge, but he looks just ripped and just incredibly. Yeah. Him and Aldo too would be like an improved Chad Mendez. I might leave Mendez in that fight. Honestly,
yeah, it'd be a very interesting pick. However, let's move on. We also have the Ultimate Fighter premiering this week, Fox Sports 1, following UFC Fight Night, which we will make picks for after this. And as usual, you can check out our picks. OctagonControlMMA.blogspot.com.
Look at you plugging away.
What are you looking for in the Ultimate Fighter? I think we're going to see a lot of drama between the coaches. That's obvious. But call me crazy. I'm the guy that watches reality shows like the Ultimate Fighter, and I don't want to see all the drama and the house crap. I want to see people punch each other. I want to see the fights. I want to see the training. And maybe I'm different than everyone else, but that's what I want to see. I hope this does a good job of promoting female MMA. I've looked at a lot of the records. Some of them, you know, they're 2-0, 1-0, 0-0, 4-3. They're very low and inexperienced fighters. But I think what we've seen a lot is that the women are very hungry. I mean, every woman's fight is a brawl that we've seen in the UFC. And really, Invicta's done well just because of how the women fight. You know, they may not have big names other than a few, but they can fight. And with the males, 135 is always going to be fun. I think that was the best season that we saw of the Ultimate Fighter on Spike. And if it wasn't for Uriah Hall, maybe the best season. But it definitely has the most contenders, I would argue, that came out of it.
Also, real quick, Uriah Hall has taken the Anthony Pettis thing and is texting Dana White, blowing up his phone saying that he's a different fighter and he's going to prove some things. So text messaging. Nikolai, if you ever want to get signed to the UFC, get Dana White's number and just text the shit out of him until you get signed. That's my advice to you.
I'll text Joe Silva and I'll get the Chael Sonnen in response.
Who is this?
Sean Selby. Sean Shelby. Me.
Well, yeah. But for me, Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate, more so publicly, Ronda Rousey were basically both worried that they're going to look batshit crazy on this season.
I think on the commercials they look batshit crazy.
But that Instagram photo that went out, there was a photo that went out, when it happened, that of them, facing off, and Ronda looked like, and it was in, this, disheveled, pride t-shirt, and just, looked like angry crap, and Misha was just like, I'm here, and Ronda even thought, she was being replaced for some reason, and she's paranoid and whatever, but, and she obviously is going to listen to this because she's such a huge fan, but, I just want to see, like, how they're going to look and, like, just how they're portrayed and just kind of see how that dynamic works. I mean, I don't really want to see the drama either, but it is interesting that they're going to have men and women, like, in the same, around the same weight, like.
And I don't want to see this
turn into some real world. Okay, but you
road.
Know there's going to be, like, one or two hookups, and there's going to be a lot of free condoms around that house and a lot of free alcohol. Like, they're going to get drunk and there's someone's going
to
have
this
sex.
This episode of The Ultimate Fighter brought to you by Trojan Brand Condoms.
Maybe, what was that website?
Condom Depot.
Depot. Maybe
that's
Depot what be allowed back as a sponsor of UFC.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an interesting dynamic. I think you're right. There's obviously going to be some
just pissed and
some promiscuity.
I'll be watching it. I can't say it, but it's definitely, and it you know, it leads up. It's only going to make a fight that I would watch for sure on, as the coming event of the biggest rematch, arguably ever, in Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva 2 that's coming up, and that's just going to be huge. And it's going to, it's just going to make that fight bigger. And I'm intrigued, and I hope there's some real talent. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter, I think, over the last couple of years hasn't always had the best talent. There's other ways to get to UFC.
And
I mean,
they're bypassing guys who try out for the Ultimate Fighter. They'll see him and say, "Hey, you're really good."
You know, yeah, and so they kind of maybe go for the personalities as well, and it's kind of.
I mean, that's why Julian Lane made it as opposed to other fighters. I would argue.
Right now there's not a tough produced champ.
And you know, we bring up the Ultimate Fighter and the personalities. I talked to Jason Dead. He's even said, "I don't know how I got on the Ultimate Fighter. I do not have the personality to get on the Ultimate Fighter." And it's true, they do pull a lot of personalities.
I mean, you have to,
and you have to. It's reality TV, obviously, but I think that does take away from the talent. I think it helped that in the early seasons of the Ultimate Fighter that you did have guys, you know, like Chris Lieben and Josh Koscheck, who are already a little insane, and that made the show more interesting. You had guys like Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner, who are just willing to beat the crap out of each other. Diego Sanchez is always insane. I think they really need to now. I think we're used to crazy people. I mean, there's so many reality TV shows going on. There's so much, you know, hooking up, making out, fighting, swearing, cursing, stripping, just everything under the sun. You need talent on this show now. I mean, I don't care about Pranks in the House anymore. I don't care if Ryan Bader or so-and-so or Kyle Kingsbury or Vinny Magalhaes are all screwing with each other in the house. I don't care if Junie Browning wants to fight everyone. I care about the fights, and I think you do need talent now, especially with the men and the women in the house.
Yeah, and we will definitely see how it goes. We'll see about the talent, we'll see about everything, but it's definitely one of the tough for me has been kind of a watch it later, just kind of read the recaps, and I'm actually going to try to watch this season, even if I don't get it in my room. I'm going to find a way to watch every episode and kind of process it, and that's more than I can say about any other season.
And you know what? This raises an interesting point. Do you realize Fightmaster? I believe the finals are soon.
I couldn't tell you.
I know Joe Riggs was in it, but Spike did such a poor job of promoting this thing.
It has gone to from, you know, kind of like doing pretty well ranks to just like kind of plummeting.
It is. I don't know what. Well, Chris, could you look up real quick and see what the numbers were for the last episode, because I can't expect them to be good. I even tried to watch the last episode and ended up going to bed. I mean, the time sucks. It's Thursdays at 11 p.m. No one is going to watch that.
They've had 25% drops of viewers.
Oh, gosh. That's not getting picked up for a second show.
It will. I'm sure it will. They need, I mean.
But it's so hard. You're getting a bunch of guys with mediocre records who have fought in Bellator before and obviously aren't UFC caliber, unless maybe consider Joe Riggs, and you're basing personalities on coaches.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of ex-fighters are looking at what happened between the UFC and Randy Couture, and maybe if they're in any way related with the UFC, they're a little hesitant to pull that job now.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think it's just, it's kind of an interesting dynamic, and I think my prediction, though, is that next season,
Greg Jackson will no longer be on there. And I think it's going to be Couture. I think it's going to be Shamrock, Rampage, and Tito. That's my prediction. And then they're going to get and they're going to use the hype Couture versus the winner of Rampage and Tito on their belts for second pay per view.
And we've seen Rampage as a coach twice.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, I'm being a little facetious and sarcastic about the Couture fighting Rampage and Tito, but
I hope not.
Yeah, me either. But you know, I think it's going to be something like that where you just get more, you go less coaching, more personality, and they're going to use that to drive ratings. But there's also a fight card this Wednesday.
There is. And let's get to those predictions. It is Teixeira and Vader, UFC Fight Night.
Pick the top three?
Yeah, we'll pick the top three fights. UFC Fight Night, it's in Brazil, leads straight into the Ultimate Fighter. Check that out. Obviously, same night. Three fights, 8 days. Not sure how I feel about this or how I feel about this pace that's really picking up. Good thing we have a 17-day break next. Let's predict these. First fight, I would like to predict another alpha male fighter, Joseph Benavidez, goes up against Jucie Formiga. And you can't predict against anyone from alpha male at this point. I mean, they've been on such a tear. Joe B beat Ian McCall. Ian McCall's beat Formiga, and Formiga has not looked good in the UFC.
You know, he looked good in his last fight against Chris Caruso. When he can implement his very, very good jiu-jitsu, he can get submissions. He has just ridiculous top control. But
the issue is he has to take Joe B down.
And that's something like, I mean,
and his stand-up is just very,
He's got pop. He's crisp. I think Joe B, I don't know what you think, but I think Joe B cruises, and he's going to finish it round one or two.
He's going to finish it second round with a vicious knockout,
or,
I think.
I mean, he's submitted black belts before, like, running. Yeah, yeah, he submitted, I believe. Or,
oh, man, could you imagine if he did that in Brazil?
I'd love it.
Yeah.
It'd be a very interesting reaction, but I think he's one of those the guys who can come in. He's just better. Like it's a close fight where the Brazilian's going to get such a huge boost. He's going to have an advantage there and get it done.
Speaking of Brazilian that's going to get a huge boost, though, the co-main event, we have Yushin Okami goes up against Jacare Souza. I think the key for Okami in this fight, he needs to use that clinch game. Sort of like what he did against Alan Belcher. You know, it's going to be a boring fight if he wants to win. He has to keep the clinch game, keep that heavy top control. But I just think Jacare's improved his stand-up a lot. I think his jiu-jitsu is, you know, there's few guys who can really use their jiu-jitsu because it's that good. And I think it's really Damian Maia and at this point, Jacare. And I'm going with Jacare, but I think it's going to be a close fight.
Yeah, I definitely think... I think Okami has a better chance of winning than some people might think. He hasn't looked great in a long while.
But he has a style. He definitely has an advantage in the style, I would say.
He's bigger. I don't know if he's going to get submitted.
But he's strong, and he's really good at the clinch game. He can take down guys. And he...
I think Jacare is very good, but I don't know if he's going to be able to get him off his back. I mean, Okami is like a very big, positional, tough grappler.
So who are you going with?
I'm going to take... Since I need to make sure I win, I'm taking Yushin Okami via decision. I'm not 100% confident. I definitely think Jacare is going to be a little more powerful and crisp on the feet. But I'm going to take Okami, and I think it's going to be a very close decision. I think it's going to come down to the third round. If Okami's gas tank held up okay, I think he gets it done.
And for the main event, we have Glover Teixeira goes up against Ryan Bader. Boy, they're sort of throwing Ryan Bader to the wolves at this point. Gotta do it. And it's not to say Ryan Bader couldn't upset Teixeira. Teixeira does eat a lot of punches, which tends to be an issue. But he's got a lot of power. You know, he has a gas tank, that's for sure, training with Hagelman in the pit. I'm going Glover Teixeira, especially in Brazil.
I am too. I think he's going to KO Bader in round one or two. You know, Bader has a decent wrestling background. Definitely a borderline close to top 10 guy. But he doesn't convert a lot of takedowns. He got destroyed. I mean, his losses besides John Jones was except for Machida and Tito. And he lost to Tito. I mean, it doesn't work for him. And Teixeira's just looked really, really good. He's powerful. I think he's gonna KO him. He's gonna move forward. He's even on the ground. Like, I think he's apt enough against Bader to kind of get it done. I don't like his chances against Jones. If he wins, can we see Glover Teixeira and Phil Davis?
I think if Glover KOs Bader early, he gets a title shot.
Do you?
Personally. I mean, they said as much, kind of alluded to it, and I really think that because I don't think that they have any desire to rush Phil Davis into a title shot. I think if Bader goes out if Teixeira goes out and KOs Bader within a round or two, I think you see Teixeira, John Jones will fight Bader, or fight Teixeira early in 2014 for his next title shot, next title fight. And you'll see Phil Davis kind of have to find someone else to fight, which kind of sucks for him because he's going to be maybe cheat and everything, but he'll need to find someone else to fight.
And that all takes place Wednesday, so be sure to check that out. We are out of here as usual. Check me out on Twitter at Nikolai_Gianti. Check Chris out at CWM Rights. We are now at OctagonControlMMA.blogspot.com, and we are back every week. We will check you out later.